Begin the current daf Masech Tzivamas, daf Kufcha Beis, the last daf Masech Tzivamas. Begin 7 lines down the top of the Yamad, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf, and that is as we qualified in the previous Mishnah from Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, that a non-Jew is different than a Jewish person, although we allowed for iguna purposes that we don't want a woman to be bound, not being able to remarry because we don't know what happened to her husband, that we believe any type of a person, even if it's just one person, to say that the husband's dead, but by a non-Jew we don't believe him. It's only, as Rabbi Yochanan said, if he's masich lefituma, if he just happens to be mentioning this fact without any intention for sure of permitting her to get remarried, or as Rabbi Yochanan said, even say testimony regarding the fact that he's dead, then we allow the woman to remarry based on that. Now that the Gemara continues with certain incidents like follow this theme of masich lefituma, that Abba Yudin ish tzaydin Omar, he says that Maisa bi Yisrael vo'ivik kachav mishalch badach, there was an incident where there was a Jew and a non-Jew that were on the journey together. And then the non-Jew comes after the journey and he says, Chaval, what a loss, and he was bemoaning this fact, Al Yehudi Shahoya Imi Baderch, regarding the Jew that was with me on the road, Shemes Baderch Vikvartav, that he died on the road and I buried him, and they married his wife based on what this non-Jew was saying. And then there was another incident with a group of Shalbani Adam of people, that they were going to Antochia. And then there was a non-Jew that came along and said, Chaval al kaila shabani adam, woe to, and we see this from the way there it's being said, it's not regarding the testifying or to permit the woman, it's just bemoaning the fact, which fits into this category of believing the non-Jew, that he's bemoaning regarding this group of people, al kaila shabani adam, shemesu ikvartam, that they died and I buried them, visius nashasem, and based on that, what he had said, they married off their wives. Shuv maisa. Then there was another incident, B'shishim in the Adam, with 60 people. Shoyim Mahalchin Lekarkrim Beita, that they were on their way to the city of Beitar when it was under siege by the enemy. Oboi V'kachav Ma'aman, a non-Jew came along and said, Chaval al-Sheshim in the Adam, woe to these 60 people. Shoyim Mahalchin Maderach Beita, that they were on the road, on the way to Beitar. Shemesu Ukvartim, that they died and I buried them. V'yesius Neshaseim, and they married with their wives based on the testimony of the non-Jew, at least as we said, that it's not Kavanosai, then his Eidus will be Eidus, as we see from these three incidents. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing in the theme about identifying the corpse to be able to say testimony that this is the man that died to be able to have the wife remarry. So the Mishnah says, Me'idin, the person could testify regarding this person that died by identifying him, Lo'ir Haner, to the light of a candle, Lo'ir Halvano, or to the light of the moon. That's enough to use to be able to verify that this is the dead person. But moreover, Masina Pibaskal, you could even marry off the wife based on the heavenly voice, and that is, let's say a person just hears a voice screaming that this person died, and you don't see a person's shadow, doesn't make a difference, even if you just hear a voice that's saying this and this person died, almost like in other words, a heavenly voice, that's enough to allow the woman to remarry. As the Mishnah says, there was a story of a person that was standing on the top of a mountain, and he was saying, "Ish pleini ben pleini mimokim pleini." This man, the son of that man, from that place, Maisi died. And holchu v'lematzah shadim. So they went there to verify the story, and they didn't see a person there. V'yisirus ishtei, and they married off the woman just by hearing this quote baskal, this voice that they were hearing, even if they weren't able to verify who said it, they married off the wife. V'shuv ma'isa b'tzalman. Then there was another incident in Talmud. The Echad Shama was regarding one person that said, Ani ish pleini ben ish pleini, I'm this person, the son of that person. Nashcheini nachash v'arini mes, a snake bit me and I'm going to die. V'holchu v'lekiru, by the time they got there, they didn't recognize who this dead person was. V'holchu v'yisuris ishtei, but because they heard from this person's mouth saying that he's that person, they went and married off the wife just based on that. Again, that's how far, because of Iguna Kilo Barabana works, even if it's just a baskoil or a voice from a person that we don't know, it's enough to allow us to be lenient in this matter. Now, related to this halacha, the Mishnah, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Shmuel, he says, Tanu, we learn in the Braisa that Beishami Oimrim ain masin api baskoil. You cannot get married if you just hear a heavenly voice saying that this man died. Beisol Oimrim masin api baskoil, but Beisol says you could marry off the woman based on this heavenly voice that you're hearing. So the Gemara's question is, Mike Mashmalon, what is Rabbi Bar Shmuel teaching us? That Beis Hillel holds that you could get married based on the baskal, and that, as we know, halacha always follows like Beis Hillel. But masnin hi, We have a Stam Misnitna, an anonymous Mishnah, which we just quoted before, that says the same idea. So obviously, the Halacha is always like a Stam Mishnah. Why do we need Rabbi Shmuel to say that Basil holds the same thing? Which, yes, that would also mean the Halacha is like Basil, but we already know it from the Stam Mishnah. So I think Mor says, no, Hakam Hashmuel, what Rabbi Shmuel is teaching is because the Imishtakacha Stam de Emasin, if you would find another Stam anonymous Tanoic opinion that says that you cannot marry based on the Baskel, that you would think, oh, then it's contradictory, and then maybe you wouldn't say that you could get married. Don't worry, that's Bishamai, that's the opinion of Bishamai, and therefore the halacha would not be like that Stam Mishnah or Braisa. So though that, yes, we have a Stam Mishnah here, but you might find another one somewhere else, and that is saying that, no, that's it's a machlekes, as we see in the Braisa, Basil Bishamai, and therefore, anyway, we follow the opinion of Basil, and therefore, you would be Masin Apibasko. Now the Mishnah said that they had an incident where someone made an announcement that this person died. And they came there and they didn't find anybody there. And they married off to a woman just based on what this voice had said. So the Gemara wonders, maybe that entity that made that announcement was a demon. And you can't believe a shade. So how can, because they came, they didn't see anyone there. How can you marry off to a woman based on what that entity had said? So Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rabbi says, no, it couldn't have been a shade. Because Shiro Le Demus Adam. They saw, originally when they saw whoever it was that was screaming, they saw the figure of a man. And therefore they know there was a man, not a shade. Now, although when they came, they didn't find anyone, but it definitely was a person, a human being. And therefore that's enough to allow us to remarry her. But that the Gemara asks, Inunami Damu, they also have the appearance of man. So well, how is that a proof that it wasn't a shade? So that the Gemara says, the Chazulei Bavua. Not only did we see the form of a man, we saw the shadow of that man. So the Gemara says, but the Inunami is Bavua, they also have a shadow. That the Gemara says, the Chazulei Bavua Dibavua. They saw the shadow of the shadow. Which the Gemara asks, but v'dimu l'ditu islu bavo debavo. Maybe the shadim also have a shadow of a shadow. And that Amar B'chanina says no, because amar liyoynesin shada, either it means to say that that was this demon's name was yoynesin, or it's yoynesin who is proficient in the halachas of shadim. He says no, bavo isluhu, they have a shadow, bavo debavo leslu, they don't have a shadow of a shadow. And since we saw the shadow of a shadow, we know it was a human being, and therefore we assume based on that to allow to believe whoever was that said this to allow the woman to remarry. But that the Gemara says, you don't know who made this announcement. You saw, okay, it's a human being. But Vidil Matzara Havya, maybe this man got married to another woman somewhere else. Now that other woman knows that he has another wife somewhere else. And she doesn't want someone to compete with her for her husband. So she goes to that place, screams on the mountaintop, says that man has died, and she runs away. They come, they don't find anyone. And she's going to get remarried based on that. How do you know? Maybe it's her, and therefore you shouldn't allow the woman to get remarried based on that. So I think Moses says, you're right, but Tanna Rebbe Bishmol, we learn the Braisa of Yeshiva Bishmol, that says that Bishas HaSakana, at a moment of danger, in other words, when a person is in danger of his life, for example, let's say somebody fell into a pit, and he's going to die, and he says, whoever hears my voice, do me a favor, write a get for my wife and give it to her. Now, so at such a moment, Rebbe Bishmol says, Kaisvin V'naisn, we rely on whoever this person is. We can't see him. He's at the bottom of the pit. He's bleeding to death. And he says that I'm this and this person. Do me a favor. Write a get for my wife. I don't want her to be a naguna. So we write and we give it. Now, that's Afa Pisha Emakirin. Although we don't recognize who this person is, we believe what he's saying. Although it might be a ploy. It might be a scheme. You're right. So here also, this is essentially the same idea that it's like a moment of sakana. Because if we don't believe whoever this person was, which we know wasn't a shade, then we might never find someone that will verify for us and saying that it's this woman's husband died and therefore she's going to be a guna for the rest of her life. So yes, although there's a possibility that maybe someone's plotting and scheming to do something, but at a time of sakana, we rely on whoever it is that's saying this, that it's saying that this and this person is the one that's dying, and that's why we could have a remarry based on whoever this person is that made this announcement that this person died. Now the Gemara continues with the next mission again, which actually brings the source of this whole halacha that we've been assuming up until now with all these mishnayos that talk about that an eid echad, one witness, is believed to say, because although generally in halacha you need to have two witnesses to verify halacha, that one witness is believed to say that the woman's husband died that allows her to remarry, although we're talking about an eishes ish, which is a biblical erva. So the Mishnah brings Amr Bekiva. Bekiva says over the following incident. He says, Kishri radati l'Nardo l'Abar HaShanah, when I went down to Narda to make it into a leap year, Matzasi Nechemi ish Beistli, I encountered Nechemia, the man of Beistli. Now Amali, he said to me, To me, Rabbi Kiva, Shemati, I heard, that they don't allow a woman to remarry based on the testimony of one witness who said that her husband died. Eli Yehud ben Bava, besides for Yehud ben Bava. So Rabbi Kiva said, and I told him, yes, exactly like you said, that everybody argues on Yehud ben Bava and they don't allow her to get remarried based on the testimony of one witness. Now, Amali, so Nehemiah told me, Amalahem Mishmi, tell the rabbis in Eretz Yisrael in my name, that Atim Yedim Shamadinim Mishabeshes Begiyasis, you know that my country is ravaged by war and by fighting, and I can't come up to Eretz Yisrael to testify this halacha that I've heard, because I have to protect my wife and children, but this is what Mekublanim Remlil HaZakan. I have received this tradition from Remlil the Elder, Shemesina Si'isha Piedecha, that you're allowed to marry off a woman based on the testimony of one witness. Now, Rabbi Kiva says over this story that Ukushabasi, when I came back to Eretz Yisrael, Veretzisi Adram Lefnei Rabbi Gamliel, when I said over this halacha to Rabbi Gamliel, which is the grandchild of the Rabbi Gamliel Hazakan, the elder, Samach Ledvarai Va'amar, he rejoiced when I told him this, and he said, Mitzonu Chaval Rabbi Yehud Ben Bava, we have found a support for this opinion of Rabbi Yehud Ben Bava, that a woman could get remarried based on the testimony of one witness. Now, Mitecha Dava, Nezim Gamliel, from this conversation, Rabbi Gamliel remembered that Shenerge Harugim Mitel Arza, that's actually, this is what happened, that there were people that were killed in Tel Arza. The Hasring Lil Nishasina Piyarecha, then Lil went and had married off their wives based on the testimony of one witness, and that is recalling the same halacha that yes, this that there is such a tradition that a woman could get remarried based on the testimony of one witness. Now, moreover, the Mishnah says what ended up happening was Behuchzuku Lias Masi in aid, that it ended up becoming the tradition that they went so far to be lenient, again, as we had said in previous dafim, that because a woman is daika mintzva, so ultimately she takes the responsibility. But just to start off this process, to marry off the woman, even based on the testimony of one witness, that's even mipi aid, even if that one witness didn't even see that he died. This one witness heard from a different one witness. Or even if he heard mipi evid from a slave, or mipi isha, from a woman, or mipi shivcha, from a maidservant, even if this one person didn't even see it himself, but heard from all these other inferior type of testimonials, it's enough for him to come to Beis Din to say that the husband he heard is dead and to have the woman remarry. Now, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, I mean, they say that no. You're not allowed to marry off a woman based on the testimony of one witness. As we know in halacha, one witness is not enough to verify for a biblical halacha of having a married woman remarry someone else. Now, Rabbi Kiva, I mean, he says that you're allowed to marry based on one aid, but loyal pi isha, not based on the testimony of a woman, v'lo pi evet, not by a slave, v'lo pi shivcha, not by a maidservant, v'lo pi krivim, and not based on the testimony of relatives. Now, on this last halacha of Rabbi Kiva, the Gemara asks, v'savi Rabbi Kiva pi isha loy? Is it really true that Rabbi Kiva holds that you cannot have the woman remarry based on the testimony of a woman? But the title in the Brice that says, in the name of Rabbi Kiva, he said, Isha nemenes lehevi gita, a woman is believed to bring her own get from overseas. Now, although we need to rely on the messenger who has to say what's called befani nechtav, befani nechtam, which is the beginning of Masechtas Gittin, he has to say that before me this get, this divorce document was written and before me it was signed, because even a regular Adam Kasher has to say this phrase of befanenechtem, which is what validates the validity of the get. So although the woman has to say it and we have to rely on her testimony, she is believed to bring her own get and that we rely on herself. And that's mikabochemer, from the family kabochemer, because if regarding those five women that we find that we brought earlier in the previous paragraph, Kuf Yud Zayin and Aleph, Sha'amr Chacham, Einam Onis Lemim Meis Balu, where the sages said they're not believed to say testimony regarding that other woman, whether it be a mother-in-law, daughter-in-law relationship, whatever the relationship is that these five women are not believed to say regarding this woman that her husband died, because we're scared they're going to be messing her up, so they're not believed. Yet in spite of that, we learn Masechtas Gittin on Daf Chav Gimel Beis that Neman is Lehebi Gitei, and they're believed to bring the get, and they say, B'fanenachtim, as we explained previously, it's because ultimately, Ksav Mechiach, it's the document itself that's doing most of the permission. It's just they need to validate that, but that's why they believe to bring the get. So if that's the case, Rabbi Kiva said, Zushin the menis lehevi beis baila. So the woman herself that's believed to say that her husband died, ain't a dinshin the menis lehevi gita, isn't it a kavochem that for sure she could bring her own get? Because those five women cannot say that the woman's husband died, yet they could bring the get. So if she could say her husband died, for sure she could bring her own get. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, Nashim b'sha'am u'chachamim, it sounds like from what Rabbi Akiva is saying is that in the midst of his Kavol Chomer, that, oh, because there's these five women that the sages said that they're not believed to say that the woman's husband died. Who delay mehemni? It's only them that they're women, but certain type of women they're not believed. But it sounds like Isha Ba'alma mehemna, that a regular woman, not from these five women, are believed to say that the husband's that this woman's husband died. But that refutes what Rabbi Akiva is saying in our Mishnah, that he says that whoever it is that we're believing, even one witness, but not a woman. And there it seems clearly that he holds that a woman is believed, as long as not one of those five women. So the Gemara says, Lakash is not a difficulty, because Khan, our Mishnah, is taught by Kodim Shech Ziku, which, as we said in our Mishnah, although Rabbi Akiva is mentioned towards the end of the Mishnah, but his opinion was recorded before that. What ultimately ended up happening is that they ended up believing one witness, and even one witness to even permit women. But he was saying a statement before that was allowed. Before that it was allowed, he held that it can't be a woman. There in that braisa, which is quoting the Kavol Chomer, the name of Rabbi Akiva, was after that it was they already made the chazaka of allowing even women to go ahead and say that testimony. Rabbi Akiva ultimately ended up agreeing to that. And based on that, he has his Kavol Chomer, but at least from those five women, that they're not believed, but they can bring the get, for sure the woman that could say that her husband's dead, for sure could bring her own get. Now, the Masechta concludes where that a continuation of the previous Mishnah of the same discussion at Amrulai, that the Chachamim said to Rabbi Akiva, who in the previous Mishnah said that, at least before they were Machzik to allow women, he says that no, yes, you can have her get married based on the testimony of one witness, but not with a slave, a maidservant, relatives, and a woman. No. But they said to him, how can you say that? Ma'isim ibn Levi, there was an incident with Leviim, Shahochu l'tzayir iratimam, that they were on their way to Tzayir, the city of dates. V'chol echemem, one of them got sick on the way there. So v'yivu b'pundik, so they left him at an inn. U'b'chazrasam, amru l'pundikas, when they came back on their way back home, they said to the innkeeper, Ayachavreinu, where is our friend? So she said, no, Muslim, she said to them, Mace, he died. He was sick. He actually ended up dying. But kvaritim, and they buried him. Now, v'siyu sishtoi, and they went, and the halacha was that they paskin that they married off this man's wife based on what this innkeeper had said, that he had died and she had buried him. Now, therefore, the Chacham say to Rabbi Akiva, v'loitehe kahenes. In other words, shouldn't a Jewish woman, or for sure a kahenes, a woman that's from a family of kahanim that has yichuds, respected lineage, that they're believed, shouldn't they be believed as much as kapundikis, like an innkeeper, which is definitely less of a reason to believe her, where the Gemara will explain why would we less believe an innkeeper than any other woman. But either way, they were saying, if we believe her, for sure we should believe a regular woman. So how could you say that we cannot have a man's wife get remarried based on the testimony of a woman? So Amalahu, Rabbi Akiva said to them, and there's two different girsois, which makes a difference for how we understand the Gemara. But first we'll say, according to the girsois we have in our Gemara, Rabbi Akiva said to them, L'kashateheka pundikis. When a regular Jewish woman will be like the innkeeper, in other words, exactly as it was in this situation that we believe the innkeeper will be another woman, then the menace, then we would believe another woman. And the reason is because we didn't really believe the pundikis. Ha-pundikis hoitzi lehem makloi, the innkeeper, we believed her, but only because she brought out his staff, vitamile in his pouch, the sefer Torah shebiyodoi, and the Torah scroll that was in his hand, and obviously if that guy had left, he wouldn't have left his items here. If he's not around and his items are here, obviously that he died and she had buried him, and that's why we believe her. But we don't believe just based on testimony. That's one version of that. Rashi brings a different gear so that it's not likashtehe kipundikis then nemenis, but rather it's likashtehe hapundikis nemenis, not kipundikis. Rather it's saying that, yes, when we believe the pundikis, then we would believe other women too. In other words, what he was essentially saying was that if it's true that we believe a pundikis, then yes, we would believe other Jewish women, but actually, we don't rely on her. She's not believed. But rather, the primary component here was because she was what's called, as we saw in the previous daf, masich lafi tumay. She was just talking innocently. She just brought out his stick and his money pouch, and she wasn't trying to say testimony that he was dead. She was just talking regarding what had happened, and that's why we believe her. But regarding the primary halacha of believing somebody, that we don't believe her, and therefore the same thing would apply to a Jewish woman. When she comes to say that this woman's husband died, we don't believe her. Now, we're continuing on Tamid Beis with the Gemara discusses, and again, there would be different interpretations in the Rishonim and Achronim how to interpret this Gemara based on the two different Gersoyos in Rashi, but the Gemara asks, my grayus of the Pundikus, what was deficient about this innkeeper that the Chacham said to Rabbi Akiva, like, if we believe her, and that we see that they had this woman get remarried based on her testimony, so shouldn't we believe a regular Bas Yisrael? How can you say we don't believe a Bas Yisrael? What was more deficient? So Amar Rav Kahana, he says, because it was Tuma Pundikus, she was a non-Jewish woman, that innkeeper. Now, we definitely believe less, as we saw in the previous daf on the Mishnah, that we believe less a Jewish person than less a non-Jewish than a Jewish person. And if we believe that she was non-Jewish, for sure we believe her if she's Jewish, which is what they were claiming to Rabbi Akiva. Now, again, depending on the Gersoyis here, when they say umasich lefi tuma haisa, that she was talking innocently, as we see from Taisvis, then the understanding would be actually that's a reason why we would not believe her. But according to the other Girsa in Rashi, that Masich Lefituma would be the other part of the story, which was actually Rabbi Kiva's point about why she should be believed. In other words, we only believed her because she was Masich Lefituma, but that wouldn't help for a regular woman saying testimony. We don't believe anyone if she's a woman. It's only there where she's Masich Lefituma, then we would believe. But either way, the primary idea is that she was a non-Jewish woman and she was talking innocently. And she said, Zemakli, this is his stigma, is their tamili, here's his pouch, but Zekevish, I can't remember, this is the plot where I buried him. And therefore, that's why we believed her again, according to the different interpretations of Rashi, either because she was talking innocently or because we didn't believe her. We just believed the facts that were there. If we don't see him, but we see his stick and the Sefer Torah and everything there, obviously he's dead. That Pundikus Avedes Kachav Ma'isa, she was a non-Jewish woman, this innkeeper. Umesicha Lefit Tuma Ha'isa, she was just talking innocently. Zemak Leivizer, Tamil Leivizer, Kevesha Gevartabar. Now, on that the Gemara asks, how can you say that she was just being Masich Lefit Tuma, but Va'ayi Chavarenu Kamrila? They told her, where's our friend? Now, obviously, she wasn't innocently just saying something, she was responding to their query, which then maybe we shouldn't believe what she's saying. Now that the Gemara says no, it's because kiven de chazesinu bachya. The reason why they asked the question was because they saw her crying. Amrullah, so they saw her crying. They said, "Wait a second, ay chavrin, where's our friend?" So Amalhem, she said to them, "May sukvartiv, he died and I buried him." Where that's what Rashi says. That's why that's considered lafit tuma, because before they even asked, she was already crying. Obviously, that's like starting off what she was ultimately going to say, which is that he died even before she was being questioned, which would be somewhat of like an edus. That's why we believed her again, but the primary component is that we didn't believe her, that Rabbi Akiva says to say we believe women. We believed either the facts that were there or because of Masich Lefit Tuma. Now, regarding this primary halacha that we believe one witness, the Gemara brings to mind the Brisa about exactly how do we go about believing this one witness. The Braisa brings that Maisa Ba'adim Echad Shabal Lehaid Ali Ishlaf Nerib Tavern. There was an incident where there was one person that came to say testimony regarding a woman, meaning that her husband had died, in front of Reb Tavern. So Reb Tavern said to this person, Bini, my son, Heich Ati Yedea Be'edis Ishazu, how do you know testimony regarding this woman that her husband died? How do you know this? So he said, look, Anivahu Hayin Haicha Maderach, me and him were going on the road. V'radav Acharina guys, and there were troops that are running after us. And this person that I'm saying testimony regarding, he grabbed onto an olive branch, and he pulled it off. He grabbed, broke off the branch because he wanted to make a stick out of it. And he pushed back those troops. He held them at bay. So Martilai said to him, "Arye, lion, Yishar Kachacha," which that's the famous phrase of Yashar Kayach, which is Yashar Kachacha. Let your power be strengthened, which basically he was telling him that you're a mighty warrior. You have the heart of a lion. You went and you held off all these troops by breaking off a branch and using it as a weapon. So this person told me, "Minayna tiyedea shari shmi." How do you know that my name is Aryeh? Kach karin oisi beiri. That's how they call me in my city. Yechanan b'Reb Yehoinasan, which his name was Yechanan, the son of Yehoinasan. Aryeh, the lion, to Mekfar Shechayah, from the city of Kfar Shechayah. Now, Liyamim, a few days later, Chal of Emesa became sick on our journey and he died. Now, that's how I know who he was, because of that incident, he told me who he was, where he's from. But then he ended up dying. And that's how I am coming and saying testimony that he died. V'heisi Reb Tarfon Nesishtai. And Reb Tarfon went and married off his wife based on this one witness's testimony. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, from all we see from that story, it sounds like Reb Tarfon lebayi drisha v'chakira. Sounds like Reb Tarfon does not require what's called drisha v'chakira, different types of investigations and analysis of verifying that what this person is saying is true, because he didn't ask him any questions. He just asked him, "How do you know?" He told him the story, and he married off the wife. But on that, the Gemara has a time learning a brayso that says seemingly the same type of a story, but with a different ending. It says, "Ma'isa ba'adam echad shabolaf ne'Reb Tarfon lahed edus isha." This one person came to the same testimony in front of Reb Tarfon regarding this woman that she get remarried. Amla, he said to him, "Bni heichad yidei edusu." How do you know this? Amla, he said to him, "Look, ani bahu ha'inu halach maderech. We were going on the road together. V'rodav acharei ne'gayas, and there was troops running after us. V'nitla b'yichur te'enu v'shacha." Here it says a little differently. Here it says that he grabbed onto a fig tree, a fig branch, and tore off the branch. The Hechzer is a guy's lachayv, and he held the troops back from the stick. And the Martula Yashakachacha Arya, I said to him, "Wow, you what a lion you are! Your might should be strengthened." So Amali, he said to me, "Yofa kavantalishmi, you did a very good job. You actually, when you called me a lion, you actually got my name, because Shakach or Karinay Sibiri, that's what they call me in my city. Yechanun bin Yainasin, who's Arya the lion, the Mikvar Shechaya." And then Liyamim, Chalav Emes, a few days later, he got sick and he died. And that's what I'm telling you. That's how I know his name and where he's from. So Amaloi, Reb Tarfon said to him, and what he was doing was, he was doing drishas v'chakiras. He was poking around, trying to trick him to switch things around to see if what he's saying is true. So he said to him, "Wait a second. L'kach amarti li, didn't you first tell me, Yechin ben Yonasin de Mikvar Shechaya Aryeh? That wasn't what they called him, Aryeh, but that you said that he said that he was from the city of Kfar Shechaya Aryeh." So Amalei, so the person said, "Loi, no, that's not what I told you. Elakach amartlach, this is what I told you. Yechin ben Yonasin Aryeh, his name was Aryeh, and very likely because of his character, to Mikfar Shechaya, from the city of Shechaya." Now, the Brisa continues, "V'diktigalav shnayim v'shleish apam," and he kept on doing these types of things two and three times to say, "Wait, didn't you say that?" He tried catching him if he's lying. "V'kivin esdvarav," and he continuously got it right, and he verified, "No, this is what I said." And because of that, v'heis Reb Tarfon nezishta, and Reb Tarfon went and married off his wife. So it sounds like from there that Reb Tarfon holds that you do have to do drishas v'chakiras. So that seemingly is a contradiction in halacha. So the Gemara says, "Tanoi, it's a machlekes tanoi." The Tanoi learned the Braisa. The Braisa says that ein boidkin edei noshim, that we do not investigate, we do not clarify by the witnesses that are trying to say testimony that this woman's husband died to have a remarry. You don't do bedrishas, which drishas are similar to this previous incident of Reb Tarfon, where you ask certain questions and to make sure what he's saying is true. Or neither do we do v'chakira, which are these generic type of questions, which is what day was it, what hour was it, to make sure that, analyze what he's saying is correct. That's different. Reb Kiva holds that you don't do drishas v'chakiras, which is like the first version of the braisa recorded in the name of Reb Tarfon. And Reb Tarfon, I'm a baitkin. Reb Tarfon says you do analysis, and that's like the second braisa that we brought, that he asked him all these different questions. And the Gemara says, v'kamifag Reb Chanina, their machlik is, depends on the machlik of Reb Chanina's halacha. Where, because the Amr Reb Chanina says, divad tayr, according to biblical law, echad din imamunis v'echad din nefashas, whether it's monetary law, whether it's capital law, either one, bedrisha v'chakira, when the witness comes to say testimony, you have to do these different analyses about questioning and making sure what he's saying is true, and to get the basic stats regarding what actually happened. Shemek says, Apostle Gimel Yikor, it says, mishpat echad yilachem, that all your laws should be the same, which is, and therefore, since we see by bedin nefashas, by capital punishment, we find that it says v'derashta v'chakarta, that you have to do drishas v'chakiras. So the same thing applies to monetary law. Now, but then the question is, Reb Chanina says, umatam amr, but then why did they say that din mamunis ain't tzrichin drishas v'chakiras? Why is it that by monetary law, regarding the witnesses, when a lender comes and brings witnesses to say that, have witnesses that I loaned this person money, that we don't do drishas v'chakiras? Say, wait a second, where were you? How do you know? And we do all the, we don't do that. Why? If biblical law mandates that. So that, Reb Chanina says, is because sh'leitinol delas b'fnei levin, that we shouldn't close the door in front of the borrowers, because lenders are going to say, I'm never going to get my money back. No one can withstand the scrutiny of the judges, and because they're going to trip up somewhere. And the people are going to say, I'm not lending anymore. So because of that, the rabbis went ahead and stopped the biblical requirement of drishas v'chakiras. Now, that's what Reb Chanina says regarding Dina Mamnes. Now, Ubamaika Mefke, and what do they argue over here regarding Edus Isha? That is along those lines. Marsava, one opinion held, Kivendik Ksuba Lemishkal, since part of having a woman remarry based on the testimony of the one witness, she also goes and takes her Ksuba, and as we learned in the previous daf, because in the Ksuba it says that, when you get married to someone else, Tita Mashakasub Laichi, that you take what I wrote for you, so automatically when she gets married to someone else, she takes her money. So that's the equivalent of monetary law. And that's why we don't require, as Reb Kiva says, a drisha v'chakira, because it's monetary law. And there the rabbis instituted that we don't do drisha v'chakiras. Umar Sava, however, Tarfin held, and as the second brisa had said in that story, Kivin de Kasharin and Eshes Ishli Alma, since when one witness is coming along, we're permitting essentially a married woman to marry someone else, it's kedin nefashas dami. It's like capital law, because if someone has relations with a married woman, there's a punishment of chenek, of being choked, and therefore the edin nashim do require drisha v'chakira, as it is by din nefashas, and that's what they're arguing about. Because since Reb Chanina said we differentiate between din mamas and nefashas, what does edus isha have halacha, which will tell us if you need drisha v'chakiras? If you consider like din nefashas because it's a din eshes ish, which is chenek, then you require. If you consider like din mamas because there's the ksuba, then you don't require the halacha of drisha v'chakiras. Now with that, the Gemara concludes the Masechta, Amr b'lazar m'chanina, which the Marsha says, the reason why it's concluding with this idea over here is because as we just brought in the Gemara this idea, and it's many times actually in this Masechta, we find this idea that the rabbis come along and they're acre seemingly uprooting biblical law. Biblical law requires drisha v'chakiras, and they go ahead and they say, we're not requiring it. How could that be? And that is what the Gemara is concluding. That's based on the common theme of what's called Mamei Darchei Shalom, because of making things working out, because if they're going to hold it to the letter of the law, then no one's going to be able to borrow money, and that's going to be definitely a thing that's going to cause much strife and difficulty in the world. And that's what he says, that Talmidei Chachamim Marbim Shalom Ba'olam, Talmudic scholars increase peace in the world. And that's with all their institutions that they do. Shenama, like it says a pasuk in Yeshaya, it says, V'chol b'nayich l'mudi Hashem, that all your sons are students, are those who learn from Hashem. V'rav sholem b'nayich, and an abundance of peace are your sons. And again, that's the concept of Derech HaNayim that we find throughout, where the rabbis say, and we have to do, the Torah wants the strict letter of the law, but it still has to work within the confines of peace. Although this MS, there's sholem, and therefore, although it's seemingly that they're uprooting biblical law, but it's Shalei Tenel Dallas Befnei Leiven, the rabbis, the chachamim, they come along and they increase peace in the world. And there's a famous remez, an allusion, that there's four masechtas that conclude with the same gemara, the same mimer of that the gemara concludes here, which is Banayach, which is Masechtas Brachas, is the base, and the Nun is Masechtas Nazar, the Yud is this Masechta of Yevamis, and the Chav is the Masechta of Krisis. Hadalach Isha Basra, we shall return to you the 16th Perek of Masechta Yevamis, Perek Isha Basra, the Slikla Masechta Yevamis, where Baruch Hashem concluded the Masechta of Yevamis.